Today is one of those days that you kind of just want to, depending where you are, I suppose, just want to avoid, not really talk about too much or think about too much. But, you know, Melbourne Cup, it's happening. It's happening at 3 o'clock today. And one of the things that I guess concerns and worries a lot of people is the promotion of gambling in all of this and the problem that is in our society and how things are getting out of hand. Salvos do a lot of work with gambling. They spend a lot of time and resources in helping people with gambling addiction. Maris Deepers is a psychologist, joins us on the phone to talk about this morning. Good morning to you, Maris.
Good morning, Hopeland.
Hello, Maris. Hey, Maris, would this be a particularly bad day for people who have gambling addiction?
It particularly can. And it can be even for people who've had a long history of even recovery from previous gambling problems, because it is, without getting too much into it, I mean, I would say it is a particular time of the year where the idea of gambling, the idea of office suites, the very notion of kind of betting and gaming is on the almost unfortunately on the national agenda, and it can be quite difficult to escape. And so when workplaces get involved and all of that, it can be quite a triggering kind of day for someone with problem gambling, and just kind of reminds them and kind of, you know, can put pressure on their own ability to kind of, you know, refrain from that behaviour. So, yeah, a tough day for some people.
I can imagine.
Warning signs. What are the warning signs of someone with a gambling addiction or for ourselves if we that is a problem, past or present, or just even if you would be more susceptible to that?
Well, it's interesting because, the lion's share of work that I actually do is working with substance dependence and behavioural, you know, dependence issues like gambling, as well as writing and working with families that are impacted by these kind of behaviours. And interestingly, the problem gambling actually has a number of the same warning signs and things to look out for as any other substance or addictive pattern of behaviour. And so, I mean, the first and foremost is any increase in particular behaviour, in this case gambling behaviour, and any increase in the amount of time spent engaged in that behaviour is a bit of a warning sign. Any use of gambling behaviour to regulate internal emotion states, to deal with a difficult day at work, to deal with stress, to get a break, to relieve tension, again, it has a little bit of a warning sign. Any sign of any anxiety or depression following a gambling session, or guilt about gambling, any indication that gambling has been associated with or the cause of other issues, whether it be family discord or financial issues, obviously, and any concern raised by friends or family members, any desire to kind of cover up or hide or be a little bit secretive about gambling behaviour is also some warning signs. The inability to stop. So if for people who one of the key warning signs it can be that people actually sit down to play poker machines typically and are actually almost unable to stop until they've actually run out of money, until the means of resource are exhausted. That's a really, really big warning sign that the locus of control over this behaviour has actually been lost. One that's really key, particularly with problem gambling, is the financial stress associated with it, and then the use of gambling behaviour to actually chase losses and actually try to attempt to pay debts. And it becomes problematic because where the cause of the issue is then also becomes the solution. It just creates more issue, and the hole gets deeper. So all of these are kind of warning signs for everyone out there to be aware of when actually assessing the role of this behaviour in their lives.
The amount of pressure there'd be on you if you had that burden of the debt, but then I'm going to try and gamble my way out of this. I mean, how can we help? How can we be of assistance to people we know who have this issue, or if we have it ourselves and are wanting to reach out and get some help, what should we do?
So I guess there's a whole variety of things that people can do depending on the actual idiosyncrasies and the nature of their own behaviour and what needs to be addressed. Some people can get voluntary self-exclusion from clubs, and that actually relieves them of some of the issue, because it makes it more difficult for them to actually access machines, more easily for them to regulate themselves. But it's not a be-all and end-all measure. Some people really, really benefit from having some financial counselling as well, and having a look at the financial management of their lives, and actually involving support people in that process can be really, really important as well. So having someone that can help kind of assume even in the short term responsibility for some of the finances, and just remove the means and give that person the ability to then put in place some of their own coping strategies. There's a really, really great website called gamblinghelp.newsouthwales.gov.au, and on there there's a gambling calculator. There's a bit of a quiz about gambling behaviour that can be and whether, you know, the behaviour could be becoming problematic. Really, really important. There's some tools, and importantly, there's also a downloadable, or I believe if you call, they will send one out to your house, a self-help guide for families, which is really, really important, because as we know, with any of these issues, it's not just the individual who's impacted, but, you know, up to 42 people around them can also be impacted by this behaviour. And whether it be gambling or whether it be drug or alcohol issues, the impact and the devastation that it can wrought in families, it can be very much very similar.
42 people affected. That's a huge number of people. Gamblinghelp.nsw.gov.au. Mara Steepers, thank you so much.
Have a good week, and take it easy today.
Yeah.
Think about the budget.